This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Tess, you have found something fascinating that's helping restaurants perform better.
Well, and get fresh produce to their door in pretty much no time at all. It's called modular farming. It's actually just starting this year, so that's how new it is.
Wow.
These guys, James and Prue Petiris, actually started it. James grew up in Melbourne. And he actually lived quite near to where there were several farms who experienced a lot of drought. And always being in horticulture, he felt, you know, he wanted to really help them. So they came up.
The old saying, you can take a horticulture, but you can't make it think.
Ooh.
Okay, I've got you just like done stuff with
derailed.
My brain.
Yeah.
Where was I? Anyway.
That's right. Where were you?
Yes. They're stealing the idea, as with all ideas, from Canada. So the Canadians came up with modular farming because of the, you know, the frostbite and how cold it gets there.
Right.
And so basically it's hydroponics in a container. It's a stainless steel container. It looks exactly like a container but is nothing like a container because if you used one, it wouldn't work. But what they do is they're a standard size of about 10 by 10 by 40 feet long. And so to look at them, imagine, remember the computers in the old days where, you know, that you had that mainframe room of a computer and it was like just heaps and heaps of lines of stuff going down the middle and then all these wires coming out of the lines.
I think we've still got one here.
Yeah, exactly. It looks exactly like that, except where you've got the wires going everywhere, you've got plants going everywhere.
Ah, okay.
So just coming out of all these panels, they look really, really uniform. So, you know, so what they're able to do is control not only the nutrition but the standard size. There's no bugs eating them. And of course they can grow 10 times the amount in you know like a fifth of the space.
Wow.
I'm just making those figures up. Hey,
and all year round.
Yeah. Exactly. So what they thought they'd do is they'd start out in Brisbane, which is where they now live, and they put it next to the eateries in Eat Street North Shore Precinct, which I'm not familiar with, but obviously, you know, think about our closest precinct, our eateries here in Melbourne.
Docklands.
And even Melbourne itself, down to the Vic Market, wherever we eat. And so they stuck it there as a sort of an exhibition. And, of course, they supplied local restaurants. They're starting out with basically just mostly lettuces and herbs and even kale because those are the things that...
People hate but eat.
Well, I think they really need to be fresh and yet they're the most delicate.
Yeah, it's date food. It's food you're trying to impress someone else, not yourself.
Okay, well, yeah. I don't feel like that, but I'm, you know, female, so I eat all the green stuff.
Do you like kale, Tess?
I do. I must be so weird, but I love silver beet.
Yes, yeah, I do too.
I'm a huge fan of silver bee, but kale, I haven't quite got to kale yet. It just, you know, it bloats my tummy. And
does it?
Yeah, I don't know why.
You probably need to start out with a little bit and then start out with a bit more.
I need to make my body kale tolerant. I don't want to be kale intolerant anymore. Thank you.
Please.
Yeah.
Make sure your coffee's kale free.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I will. So, Tess, and this sounds like a great idea. So is this something that, you know, any industrious restaurant could possibly do if they wanted to? Tess has a restaurant background. Is that the future, do you think?
Look, I think it is. I mean, I know from my experience a lot of the chefs want to grow their own if they could.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect way to do that.
Exactly.
Obviously, being in the inner city of Melbourne, there's not a lot of space. So this is, again, an opportunity to use a smaller amount of space in a controlled environment. Obviously, you need a hothouse or a greenhouse or something like that to do that during the winter months. But, you know, that is a trend. And obviously, you know, chefs are always using the word seasonality with their ingredients and things like that. And sometimes there's, you know, if there's a problem with, you know, frost or a problem with the weather where products aren't available, this
lack
is an opportunity.
Water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, fire or whatever, you know, storm, you know, cyclones and things like that that ruin crops. And
I find,
you know,
one of the biggest things in Australia is that lack of water.
Yeah.
Because you then get celery. Celery's like, oh my God.
Thirsty.
thirsty celery, and it just tastes disgusting.
Yeah, exactly.
It loses its form.
And we charge double for it. It's insane.
That's right. And and so that's a way of, you know, kind of fixing that problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And have they been successful?
Well, it's absolutely brand spanking new. Wow. It's like just in news. So that was a trial that they introduced to Brisbane just to introduce the market to it. But the way they envisage it is that the restaurants themselves won't actually own them, but they will be a source of small business for people to... So on site, I think it's called farmmodule.com.au. Yep. Yeah. And they will be selling it to people who want to start a small business, because obviously you're not going to compete with the soil grown stuff for some time to come.
Right.
And so people will start it as a small business and then and supply to very, very, you know, people around that module wherever they put it. They'll plonk themselves somewhere where obviously...
Yeah, and then the chefs can have a direct connection with the grower and specify what they want, what they don't want, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And so with this sort of controlled growing environment, can they cook anything or grow anything all year? Is that what you're saying? Or is there still a seasonality going on? Or?
There'll be seasonality, but they will, in general terms, be able to pretty much grow anything all year round. Like, obviously in the summer months, they'll be... You know, it's not going to be in a hothouse. It'll get too hot and take too much water. So there'd probably be a way to open up the greenhouse or whatever it is what they're growing them in.
Well, they're climate control.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So, you know,
actually never matters.
No, that's right. But I mean, I think in the summer times they have to just control it a bit differently. That's all.
Yeah, it'd be more expensive.
So. Yeah.
And I mean, to start with, of course, it's going to be capital intensive. So it's no doubt going to be quite expensive. Not everyone's going to want to start that as a small business. And it's like any new technology, and most of it is technology, it'll be expensive, and then gradually as people pick up on it, it will become cheaper and cheaper.
And will they be? They'll obviously be in a building, and there'll just be rows and rows of these.
Like in the Matrix.
Well, right. Yeah. You know, the thing is, if you've got an area, let's say for instance, like the Vic Market, right, where there's like heaps of sheds that is going to blend in perfectly. A container, like a white container or a beige coloured container, is just going to fit in perfectly. So they're not going to just be put anywhere. That, you know, they could possibly even look at the top of some buildings.
Yeah.
Depending on how they're structured, so that can be a great use of space. There's a hydroponic farm in New York on top of a tall building, but that's not containers; that's just traditional hydroponics.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, you know, one of the first questions I asked myself was, "Does it taste as nice?" You know, and they were saying, "Look, if you can get hydroponic vegetables to someone the day that they're picked, as opposed to waiting for 3-day-old vegetables grown in soil, you will have lost a lot of that flavour, and they will pick hydroponic over soil grown. So, you know, a lot of nutrients and obviously flavour as well are lost over time with vegetables because they're just so delicate. Mm. So it's a great idea. It saves 95% of the water usage that you would normally use to grow normal plants.
Oh, wow. Cool. And no pesticides.
No pesticides,
which is, you know,
a bonus again.
Yeah.
I think that's actually more important. The only downside is, of course, you can start playing with it, and people will do that in order to get people to buy it.
Right.
And if you know, like vegetables, typically like a kale, can be bitter, so they can actually play with it and take the bitterness out. But in doing so, they do take out calcium and vital nutrients. So, you know, we've got to obviously be able to monitor it such that they don't
tamper too much.
They don't tamper too much.
It's a balance.
You know, but at the same time, people need to be educated. You know, like have a balanced plate, because you will enjoy something bitter if there's something nice next to it.
Complements it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
God, you two should, you know, go out and hit the town. Change the way we eat. You can read each other's mind. You're in sync, aren't you? You know, I went to Coles the other day and I was going to buy some nice apples to take to work, and everyone I picked up...
Is that even possible at Coles?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. Well, anyway, and you've probably answered my question. There was oil, like a thing over...
Wax.
Yeah. That's wax.
Is gross. It wax? Yeah.
Wax.
I just And it really just didn't make me want to buy.
Those apples are probably a year old.
Right, that's the other thing I was going to ask you, if you knew how long it would be from tree to table.
Yeah, a lot of times they gas them and they store them in a warehouse for up to that long.
What do they gas them with?
I'm not exactly sure, but it's something that
I'm not quite sure.
Makes it completely inert, so there's no decay. And
I know they gas bananas with chlorine, don't they?
I don't know if it's chlorine, but yeah, it's chemically handled on an industrial scale.
Whatever it is, it can't be good for you.
Yeah. No, I know. No, I know. And obviously they're saying, oh, it's in safe enough, you know, amounts. But the thing is, when everyone's doing it and it's all...
Oh, people are pretty hardy. I mean, people smoke and survive. They shouldn't, but they do. And eating a banana with a bit of carbon dioxide, it's not really going to make your head fall off.
No, but
it's safe. No, but it might look good, but it might taste like crap. That's the problem.
Well, you might just... depleted nutrients. And you've got to consider that you think you're having your
proper
serves a day and you're not. You're having a facsimile thereof. So think about going to your local independent market and support a market gardener.
Definitely, definitely. Yes, it's a way...
That's not for everybody, though, because markets do tend to be a bit more expensive, and it's not for everybody.
What do we think about those Saturday morning markets, like the Richmond community
like the farmers market?
Yeah, the farmers markets. They're good. Yep. So the food and veg from there are all really healthy, and way to go.
I think so. I mean, the ones that I've seen have always been very, very good, and you can tell that the produce is of a high quality, and it's local. You know, it's not like they're buying it from Coles and selling it on their, you know, the back of their truck. You can tell if it's been from the farm or not, pretty much.
Well, I think it is nice to get that story, isn't it? Like, how you're going, you know, where are you from, what do you do?
Exactly.
And I mean, you know, it's hard to make all that stuff up. They'd have to, like, remember it in a script, wouldn't
they? That's right.
Sort of, but they'd tell you their story. And, you know, I've met people that come down from Mildura and where the land's cheap and they've got a new way of life.
I went to a farmer's market not long ago and spent about $150 on $20 worth of groceries. It was great.
But you bought local, so
that's right.
Thank you for your support. Twigs and leaves on them. It's very romantic.
Well, so you know, Ted and Tess, you're both skinny, so you're right into your kale, obviously, which is good to see, and you're both very healthy
and everything else.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. That's fascinating, and we'll keep an eye out and see how that farming practice keeps evolving.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.